Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, last week was 4-H week, but you can talk about 4-H week and 4-H program anytime. So that's what I want to do today, is to talk about 4-H. Now, in case you're saying, well, I don't have any relationship to 4-H, just stop and think a minute. Perhaps you had children or have grandchildren in the 4-H program. Perhaps you have neighborhood kids that should be knowing more about 4-H and getting involved. Or perhaps a 4-H club has done a service project in your neighborhood or somewhere in your community. I'm guessing most everybody who's listening has some connection to 4-H, whether they know it or not, because it is an organization that has many different purposes. And of course, the main purpose is to empower young people and to help young people to grow into citizens, not just for today, but also for the future. 4-H is America's largest youth development organization, reaching nearly 6 million young people. And across the nation, internationally, there's more than a million more in 50 countries. So 4-H is an international organization as well as a national one. And just as to insert there, we have had a number of exchange students from here that through the 4-H program have visited other countries and have usually helped the 4-H programs in those other countries. Just to mention one of them is Mary Otmar. She was an exchange student. You could visit with her about her experience. When did 4-H begin? Well, the 4-H Foundation has said this is what we think is the beginning. And before clubs were actually formed, in the late 1800s, researchers discovered that adults in the farming community, and that's where 4-H started, was in the farming community, that the community did not readily accept new agricultural developments on university campuses. Imagine that, adults not accepting that kind of thing. But they found out that young people were a little more open, a little more excited about trying something new, and were willing then to share those experiences with adults. So this way, rural youth programs introduce new agricultural technology to communities. And the idea of practical and hands-on learning came from the desire to connect public school education to country life. Building community clubs to help solve agricultural challenges was the first step toward youth learning more about the industries in their community. So that's late 1800s. And then, according to the 4-H history, A.B. Graham started a youth program in Clark County, Ohio in 1902, which is considered to be the birth of 4-H in the United States. And the first club was called the Tomato Club or the Corn Growing Club. And those kinds of clubs continued for quite a few years. T.A. Erickson of Douglas County, Minnesota, started local agricultural after-school clubs and fairs that same year. Now, here's a name that more of you may be familiar with. Jesse Field Shambaugh from Shenandoah developed the clover pin with an H on each leaf in 1910. And so by 1912, they were called 4-H clubs. So that's where we get our 4-H. It is locally grown. And then in 1914, the Cooperative Extension System was created, and that was a way to connect the local areas with the universities on a more ongoing basis, and it gave the 4-H clubs the resources that they needed to get to good research-based information, rather than just, oh, well, where did that come from kind of thing. So local governments related to the Extension Service is designed to meet the need for research, knowledge, and educational programs. So today, of course, 4-H has expanded way beyond the agricultural programs, although in rural areas, they certainly are a very important part of the program. It took a while for 4-H to get into urban areas, but that did happen because 4-H obviously is a program that helps young people to learn and to develop and to, you know, grow into citizens, as I said, for tomorrow as well as today. It includes out-of-school programming, in-school enrichment programs, clubs, camps, a variety of STEM opportunities, things like robotics and rocketry and environmental protection and computer science. Whatever is happening in the world and lives, that can be a part of 4-H. And mentioning that, now, projects and rules and regulations do vary from state to state and even from county to county related to some specifics. But in Iowa, these are the projects that are available. Under Ag and Natural Resources, Agronomy, Environment and Sustainability, Horticulture, Outdoor Adventures, Shooting Sports, Entomology, and Wildlife. And under the Livestock heading comes, of course, beef, dairy cattle, dairy goats. That's been added in, you know, kind of, in my sense, recent history for the kids. It's been here forever. Dogs, horse and pony, meat goat, pets, poultry, rabbits, sheep, swine, and veterinary science. And in the creative arts department, there's digital storytelling, music, photography, as well as art in terms of the painting and that creative kind of thing. Family consumer science, child development, clothing, consumer management, food and nutrition, health, home improvement, sewing, and needle arts. So there's clothing, but there's also other kinds of sewing. And then STEM, under that is computer science, mechanics, woodworking, tractor, robotics, aerospace, and just in general STEM. And then the personal development area, the projects that are identified are civic engagement, communication, and leadership. The final one there is called self-determined. So that means that whatever a young person might be interested in, whatever hobby, whatever skills they'd like to develop, can be identified as their self-determined project. So the world is open. And in this time when we've had to be creative and do things differently, I think 4-H has been a great opportunity for young people as well as adults to do things on their own. The clubs and activities are really important to get new ideas and to work together, but you can also do a lot of development by researching and trying out things by oneself. So great opportunities there and great chances to be creative and just do your own thing. So lots of ways to carry out 4-H projects. Now, you know, many people, the first thing when we say 4-H, they think of fair, county fair. And fairs obviously have been going on for a long, long time since 1912, I believe, that the first official 4-H County Fair was held. Other fairs have been going on many more years than that. But a fair, a county fair, a state fair, a regional fair is just a way to show off what's been done. But before that, of course, there's much to be done. And in learning a skill, trying out a skill, trying out different methods, well, what does a 4-H'er or any person learn? Well, how to make decisions. Shall I do it this way or shall I do it that way? And then evaluating which method of those is better. How to get organized, getting all my stuff together and finding the information, how to get organized. And then one that's not a favorite, but a really important life skill is keeping records and how to work with others. So all of those are the additional benefits of choosing a project. Coming closer to home, just as a reminder, and I'm thinking Shelby and Jim maybe talked about this, that the preference is that members be enrolled, new members be enrolled, or past members be re-enrolled by November 5th. This, of course, helps leaders and even at the state level get all the information together, the project information, activities, and so on. You can join later. Kids can join later, but by November 5th would be a really good deadline. So if you want more information about 4-H in general, about Iowa 4-H, about Cass County 4-H, I'd recommend that you go to the website, extension.iastate.edu/4-H. And until next time, the 4-H motto is to make the best better.